call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skarowski.
Here.
Please rise. Join with me in a pledge of allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If I can, to maybe remain standing, ask for a moment of silence on behalf of the good people of Oak Creek, southeastern Wisconsin, that were unjustly killed or injured, for the deputy sheriff and his family that we had the funeral for this morning. Let's also be thankful for the brave police officers that put their lives on the line for the people of Wisconsin, as well as our EMS and paramedics. And I guess also let's be thankful that the police officers and firefighters of Franklin who were on the scene, who were in harm's way, were not injured. And the last thing is, let's not let the media take the focus away from the 99% of the people of the world that are good, decent, honest human beings, and concentrate on one evil individual. Let's remember that we all really are good people at heart, and we want to do the right thing. So with that, let's take a moment of silence. Thank you. We do have a special guest with us tonight. You had met her just, I think, a week or two ago, and she's back. Sydney and Sue and your mom, why don't you stand up? You might remember Sydney Kierkegaard was here 2 weeks ago as Franklin's Junior Miss.
Distinguished
young woman. And I said, well, if there's ever going to be a young lady that you're going to see on American Idol, this is probably going to be the one. I saw her sing and dance, and she's one heck of a tap dancer the other day. Well, you're going to be very proud because we have another Kierkegaard who won the state championship, and she is the state's distinguished young woman. So how about a nice round of applause for her? Sydney, do you have anything to say?
Well, thank you for letting me come and being so nice. I'm really excited, and I'm glad that I can do this for our community. It's really, really great. So.
Well, thank you. And two Kierkegaards. Wow. That's pretty good. Thank you so much.
Very good.
All right, next item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Yes, sir. You please state your name and address for the record?
My name is Jim Lysak. I live at 8756 West Mallard Court, Franklin. My wife and I have lived in Franklin since 1977. I know that council can't answer a lot of my questions right now, but I would hope I would receive a written answer to all of my questions in the near future, or at least the answers for. Number one question is, when Walmart pulled out for the land over here, what changed to allow Myers to be able to come in? And if something did change, are we going to be subject to any repercussions from Walmart because of these changes? Number two question is, well, under those changes, the restraint of trade laws, which means you cannot, and I'm sure you know what that means, you cannot deny one company just to get another one in. So something would have had to have changed. Number two question was there a needs assessment done by the city? I know there was one done by Myers, but I don't know if there was one done by the city. Knowing that this will be a 24/7 store, are there going to be restricted times for the trucks to enter and exit? A good example of this is a lot of people in this area at night when the when the, because it is a very safe neighborhood, when the weather permits, we like to sleep with our windows open. And in the morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, to hear a garbage truck beeping and backing up, or a couple of semis coming in, that's not going to be very nice. Also, number three, because of the near proximity of about 600 homes, namely Loomis Road to Forest Hill, Forest Hill to 76th Street, to roughly High Street South, and then back out to Highway 100, if the store is put in, people will want to be walking, riding bikes, and stuff like that to the store. There's a lot of people in my subdivision alone, there's always people walking, jogging, running, but nobody jogs down Putes Road because Putes is very dangerous. Nobody rides bikes down Putes Road. Now, I heard a rumor that there might be, Putes Road might be being reworked. I don't know if and when that's a possibility, but along Putes Road, right now, there are no shoulders, and it is not well lit at all, and there are no sidewalks or bike paths. So, with that in mind, if Putes Road is redone, who's going to pay for this? Do the people who live directly on that road just pay for it, or is it paid for by all the city taxpayers? And the same with if you install sidewalks for people to walk down Loomis Road or down Highway 100. Also, when the Highway 100 project is going on, when is that going to start? Between Church Street and Loomis Road. Be a lot of trucks right there, a lot of traffic right there. On the plans itself, and I received a copy of the plans, there was a proposed DOT curb and gutters and a gravel shoulders to be done by others. And it states right on the thing, by others. Who are these other people? Is it going to be the taxpayers of Franklin going to put that in? And if so, why do we have to bear that cost if they want to put in the building? Has the council also come up with an estimate of what this total cost would be to the taxpayers? Again, on the plans that I have, there was no stop and go light on Putes Road, but there is one on Loomis for cross traffic. Now, do we have an answer as to if there will be one put there or not? I don't know how many of you people travel these roads, but I've been over here for 13 years now, and my other road was not as bad as this over here coming out onto Highway 100. I would hope that the council gets back to me with some answers on this in a reasonable amount of time. I would also hope that all the infrastructures are going to be done before any building is started. And I mean, the city of Franklin taxpayers are paying for these roads and sidewalks and stuff like that one way or another through their taxes. And they should be benefited by this before any other company can come in and put in a building. That building, that business should not be started until all of those roads are completed. Highway 100, the sidewalks put in at Loomis, Putes Road all done. That would be fair to the citizens of Franklin. And they deserve the upgrades first because they're paying for them. And that, I'd like to say thank you very much for that.
Thank you, sir. It's very eloquent. By the way, Mr. Deedle over here is our planning manager. He's right here in the... what are you now? World's champion? What? He just won a martial arts thing. He's the world's champion.
Is that a threat?
No. No. But many of the things that you brought, many of the things that you just brought up are, yeah, I see. Many of the things that you brought up have been already contained in the plan commission's report, the planning department's report. Many of the things that you didn't bring up are still out there. And I'll turn it to Alderman Olson.
I just asked for your phone number. I'll call you on Thursday and give
you the answer. And I believe, maybe I'm wrong, I know Wheaton Franciscan is on the plan commission agenda. Do we have Meyer up on
yeah.
plan?
Mm-hmm.
So on Thursday night, almost all of the questions that you have raised the plan commissioners are going to be considering, and they're going to be asking many of the same questions that you did. So there's a very large report now, and Alderman Olson, I'm sure, can furnish you with much of it.
I think my biggest concern here is that all the taxpayers, if they have to bear the brunt of the cost of any roads and sidewalks and stuff like that, it should be let known to them. And all of this should be done before any building starts construction.
I just, if you get a chance and Mr. Deedle can talk to you tonight, he might be able to furnish you with some information already. And obviously Alderman Olson said that give him a call. So, anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' commentary? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I have a comment, so does my friend, regarding what's on your agenda under number one. So do you want our comments now, or do you want to go to the agenda first?
Probably now would be good. It's,
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. 11 Dusty, 8030 West Winston Way. I'm reading about these new recycling bins, and I'm not too happy with that because I don't see any benefit. I don't see any benefit for us to move those out there. Most of the people that have those blue boxes are the ones that they only use one. And I was just talking to John here, one of the representatives, that they are picking up recycling material that are in plastic bags. It's against the ordinance, I believe, that they shouldn't be doing that. They should be picking up only the stuff in the blue box and the cardboard that's in 2x2 shapes, you know, the tightly woven. But he just stated it in the back of the room here that they're picking it up. So I don't know why they're doing it. I tried to talk to one of the drivers one day, and he said they were doing that. So the basic problem is that I would have to keep one of these things, the big one, outside my garage because it won't fit in the garage because I've got two cars, I've got two snowmobiles, I've got two standby generators because we energy that sometimes doesn't keep me up with electricity. Well, one of the issues about this also is the $104. I think that's ridiculous to be charging every person $104. There are some people that have two or three of their family coming in to live with them in my neighborhood, and their garbage is all over. They only pay $104. There are some people, the woman next door, the woman across the street, and even Mark Short. She doesn't have hardly anything to pick up, but she has to pay that $104. I think that's ridiculous, and that should be changed in the next year. One of the things I wanted to mention, this man that was just up here talking about, the reason that this change is coming in my area is because somebody's changing the master plan, right? Isn't that correct? That's why it'll be allowed 190,000 square feet. And what I don't like about that is the fact that anybody coming into this city can't rely on a master plan. I can build a house someplace, and I don't know if I'm going to have a dump there. Because you people, the Common Council has always changed the master plan. The church, the base community church, has been changed, and it's detrimental right now to me and my neighborhood because I get all the traffic down Winston Way and Coventry Way, which should be changed. That land also is owned by the school board. And the school board should donate that so we can put a road through there and connect it and get it out. But it's the master plan that this, not only you in this Common Council, but the Common Councils before you keep changing it. We also have a problem with, when I talk to you, where is downtown? You know, you kind of suggested it was 76th and Rossett. I don't believe that, and it's my opinion, that it's never a downtown. And now we're going to put a car wash that looks like a circus parade. It's gold, brown, and that does not fit into our downtown. And then we got this hotel that's supposed to be there, and that's going to be a traffic mess when it all goes through, if it goes through. But one of the issue is that I also have a letter from Mr. Bennett that says my water will be kind of put on hold, or will be less, or the tower is going to be not in use, and therefore it says adjusting the lawn sprinkling time to nighttime hours between 9 p.m. 5 a.m. I don't know what he means by nighttime. The time, is he referring to the timers that people have for their automatic and everybody else can sprinkle? This is not very clear lettering. So somebody has to straighten this stuff out. If we can sprinkle and it's only the timer, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
My name is Margaret Eiler. I'm at 6506 South Parkway Drive. I came tonight because of this slip that was put in the Franklin newsletter regarding the pickup. I have some things I want to say after I tell you my opinion of what's in here regarding how this was even executed, if it was executed by the Common Council. Basically, I am not for this change to these newer carts. I went today to look at Menards. I saw what the 45-gallon cart looks like and the 50-gallon cart. They are huge. They don't even have a 96-gallon. They were like, what are you talking about, a 96-gallon? And in here it says 96-gallon, but for those that are elderly or disabled, we'll give 48-gallon. Now, the present blue kind of boxes that we put out, if one is not enough for somebody, they have two, and they put two out. Whereas with these particular carts, if you don't have enough to put in it, well, that's just your problem. And they are large, and I have the same feeling this other gentleman did. Where am I going to put this in the garage when I also have another cart somewhat like this for the regular garbage? So I am for keeping the situation the same way that it has been. Getting this late in the mail caused me to make some calls, and I just want to say what I think about how this was executed. I think it was poorly executed by whoever did this, because it comes in the mail in the Franklin newsletter. Sometimes I don't read the Franklin newsletter. Sometimes I read it a week later, and that's where it was. I happened to pick it up last night and thought, well, I'll take a look at it, and lo and behold, this is in there. The other thing is it came like, what, two or three days before this meeting? I mean, I found out about this last night. When I'm reading this, I called today to say the meeting's tonight. So it wasn't enough time. And it dawned on me, it comes in August. A lot of people are on vacation. So a lot of people might not even know of this. They're on vacation. And I don't think it's taken into account people that are by themselves. They don't need 96 gallons. So I don't know if you're thinking about families with 5-6 kids or who you're thinking about when you're thinking about this. But I kind of put two and two together, talked to a friend of mine, and also made some calls today. And I'm a little bit naive at times, and I've been naive again, because this came about because John's Disposal recommended it or brought it up. You know, I didn't think that right away, but other people did. So my understanding is, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but that his company maybe brought it up because either he has new trucks or he already has the trucks and he's already doing this in other neighborhoods and thought, well, hey, what about Franklin? But I don't think that this helps, you say here, the elderly, the disabled. I think there's a lot of people that it's an inconvenience. They're not going to have enough to put into these huge carts. And I think that it was poorly executed. And I think if I wrote this, I don't see any problem with maybe on the third paragraph saying, we've gotten a suggestion from John's Disposal that we should do such and such. This makes it sound like, hey, we want your input. In the meantime, the ball is rolling. And I'm looking now at the minutes for tonight, which clearly indicates the ball is rolling. So why not just tell the residents of Franklin and put it right into the format that is sent out? That's my feeling.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
I'll make this quick and short. Like Margaret, I'm opposed to this garbage cart change that's supposedly coming. I don't think there's any need for it. It's going to take up a lot of space in people's garage. Anybody that's in a condo probably has a single-car garage, and they don't have space for this cart. And they're not needed. Right now, everything's fine. Why the change? If John is doing it to make his situation, his business better. That's one thing, but I don't see how the residents of Franklin are going to benefit whatsoever.
Thank you very much.
I just want to add one thing. I live in a condo, so I don't have the option to put this cart outside. Everything's got to be off the ground.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Just my point. I'm also in a condo complex. And I have to tell you,
if you could you please state your name and address?
Pete Woodcock, 7521 Carter Circle South. You know how many condo complexes are in Franklin. Now, ours also will not allow anything outside. I took a look at that 96-gallon thing. That's a mini dumpster. It's absolutely absurd. If somebody brings that into our complex, I guarantee you there's going to be 96 of them sitting on your lawn about 2 hours later. It's just absurd, not necessary. These other people have articulated it by just an explanation.
Okay, Alderman Wilhelm.
I had a concern about the way the flyer was written up because it didn't address condos, and I'm also in a condo. And if you had a chance to read the contract, you would see that the condos, the ones that do get bins, I happen to be in a condo that pays the $104 but doesn't even get supplied a bin. But if you're in the ones that do get a bin, you have the option to stay with the smaller one. That wasn't in the write-up. And so I did have concerns. I talked to Mr. Bennett today about some of the comments that I received from condo owners that had the same concerns you did because that wasn't addressed.
But who would make the decision? I wouldn't.
It's the probably, I don't know, is it going to be the condo association or the individuals? I don't know the answer because it wasn't addressed in the letter.
Yes, sir.
Darrell with 299-57 West Margaret Lane. This is a subject that's near and dear to my heart because I'm severely allergic to bee stings. 9 years ago, I was stung by two yellow jackets while I was going through my recyclables. And I wound up calling 911. They could not stabilize me. I was rushed to St. Luke's. My blood pressure was 60 over 20. They worked on me for an hour before they finally brought me out. My fiance lives in Campbellsport. They have a 96-gallon refuse container there and a recycled container. We probably fill it about a quarter full every 4 weeks. And I think the 48-gallon would suffice. A bonus is that the footprint is the same size as what our current recycled containers are. One thing for senior citizens, and I'm getting there, when I carry my recyclables out, usually I have two bundles of paper on top of the box. And that's typically about 40 pounds. And if I had a wheeled container, I could wheel it right out. On the negative side, this is an automated process. I talked to my garbage collector last time he came through, and he said he's been stung very often by bees. So I think that's one of the reasons why they're pushing for it. I think that somebody from Johns could have appeared here and given us some information, for instance, had the different sizes of containers and spoke as to how often they're stung and so on. I'm not hearing that. So I might be the lone voice out here, but for safety's sake, I think we need covered containers and go.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, ma'am. Could please state your name and address for the record?
Well, actually, I did. I was hoping Mr. Bennett was going to answer the question so the people would have a better answer.
I think we all know you, but if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt. Margie Shore, 8046 South 60th Street, Franklin. I wanted to tell you that I got a call from Mr. Winninger from the quarry today, and he was very polite and everything. But I asked him why they're building the hill so high. He said that it was approved by the Plan Commission. He didn't say anything about the Common Council. And I wondered when the Plan Commission could decide all this. And I said, well, are you done? Because I saw the surveyor up there. And he said they still got like 50 more feet to go. And I said, well,
these people on 51st Street feel like they're in jail. And I went over there, and you cannot see the sun. Somebody ought to go over there when the sun starts to set. About 4 o'clock, I don't know in the winter when it'll, what they'll have. And the other thing is I asked him what all the pipe was for, because I've had so many phone calls. And he told me that it was for the water that was on both sides of the hill, and they're going to run it down to Root River. Now, there was someone told me there wasn't even any wetlands there, and they're putting pipe in, so I think somebody's wrong. And also, I don't know what to do for these people that call, but he did say that the hill will not be as high as the one on Drexel. And that's hard for me to visualize. I don't know. But he gave me his number, and he said they could call him, because I had so many calls today, and I finally called him.
But who is this?
A Wenninger.
What is his title?
Huh?
What is his title?
I don't know what his title is. He's been with them probably, oh gosh, I've known him about 15 years.
Is he a foreman or?
Clint Wenninger from Human Door.
Yeah. I've talked to him before.
Okay.
You know, they hand you from one to another, and I says, he says, oh, I know who you are, you know. But he was saying, well, look how wonderful 68th Street looks now. You saw it at the beginning when it was all covered with, it looked like ghost town, all dust, and now the people have fixed the houses up and moved in some of them. And I said, yes, I'm very well aware of all that. I've been here long enough. But he didn't say they were going to change the hill, because he said that, I assume the plan commission told him they could have it this high. And I just wondered when the plan commission had that much authority and not the common council. Because we didn't know anything about it. None of us are residents did. So I guess that's what happens when you don't come to a meeting. Thank you.
Yep. I did ask Mr. Deedle to be prepared to address any concerns that came forward tonight regarding that. So when we get on the quarry issue, he might be able to chime in on all of his.
I'm Shirley Sam. I'm from 7716 South 51st Street, one of these people against the hill on 51st Street. For one thing, they said it's going to be as high as the ones at the Franciscan. Well, the Franciscan is about a half a block down from the road. They're going to put this right on the road, right next to the road. And I'd like to see any of the members come here and see how they'd like it in front of their house. If they'd love it, or if they'd just let it go, they'd say, we want this. It's terrible. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, why don't we let the people that haven't spoke first. Okay. Ma'am, you haven't spoken. And if someone else wants to speak again, Mr. Leroy, or Mr. Lewandowski.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I have a question. Two questions. This is on the garbage cans. Did the new company, they want these garbage cans? It isn't that you decided on this. This is their decision.
I'll let Mr. Bennett decide, because I've actually not been on board with the whole contract so far.
No decision's been made at this time.
But who thought this up? Who came up with this idea that we
was it a proposal from
cans?
John's?
This was a proposal from John's, our present garbage handler.
Okay, and when you signed a contract with them, did you know that this was a possibility, that they were going to come up with a new garbage can proposal, or is this a surprise to the common council?
3 years ago, we were on ending of a 3-year contract with John's at the end of this year. At the beginning of the contract, the council did consider the possibility of carts, and we did have some quotations for carts at that time, and the council decided they didn't want to go to carts. So the contract's just about, will end in January, and either we extend the contract with John's or we go to a new contractor. John's offered for the new contract a proposal
to provide dumpsters or carts in lieu of the bins. Might just say, except for condos, that they, we don't pick up apartments, but we do pick up condos. Except for the condos, they would allow the condos to continue to use the bins because they realize that condos do not have a space for the larger carts.
Okay, and then my other question is, there's a cost to us to get to the individual taxpayer to get these garbage cans?
No, there will not be a cost for the garbage cans. The contractor will provide them. They will maintain them. But there is a cost increase of $3.60 a year in the contract. Although that, in some sense, is offset in the proposal they made to the city, in that they would not raise the price this next year, would not do a cost of living raise this next year, which would be 3%, which ends up to be getting the carts at 48 cents per year.
Okay, thank you. And then,
and that would be passed on to the, that would be added to the $4, the $104.
Now, what's this $104?
That's the charge the city now assesses on the tax roll for refuse collection.
Garbage, okay. And then my other statement is I'm in agreement with most of the people here that the big one in the picture that had the wheels, is, I don't know where to put that in my garage either. And the other, and then the one that stepped down that you said that senior citizens could have, that one doesn't have wheels on it, and I'm, oh, it does have wheels?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it didn't have wheels. So all, so the two big ones have wheels, even the smaller one. Oh, that's nice.
Mr. Mayor, can I kind of clarify?
Sure.
The proposal from Johns, as we have it, and again, it hasn't been approved, proposal for Johns is that, number one, that everybody except senior citizens and disabled people would receive the 96-gallon container. After 30 days, if they wanted a smaller container, they could get the 48-gallon container. I'm sure if the council doesn't like that method of doing it, that's probably negotiable, but they have found in other communities they'd rather have the people start with the larger containers and then go to the smaller containers. For, and again, let me just go. But for condominium owners, they can take the choice, and I presume it's going to be by the condominium association so everybody is uniform, because they can't start mixing all this, or you can imagine the cost of handling is going to go up. So each condominium will be able to choose if they wish to continue with the blue 18-gallon tubs. And if they do that, then they will pick up, they won't change, they will pick up the tubs like that. That offer is not being made to single-family homes, because it would be very difficult to go down the street. And the whole idea of this is that it's mechanizing the system. Therefore, the refuse collection company is going to save some money, because they can use mechanical arms to pick these things up. They're going, and most everybody, almost all the communities around Franklin is doing this. The whole idea is to go to a mechanized machine to pick these up, so you don't have to handle the garbage. In this case, I shouldn't say garbage, because this is going to be just recyclables. But the recyclables will be picked up by a mechanical arm, and it'll pick up either the 48-inch or the 48-gallon or the 96-gallon, and it will be the choice of the property owner on which size of container. And we'll have to work out the logistics on how we do that, but the whole idea is that if you want the 48-gallon, you can have the 48-gallon. If you've got a big family and you want the 96-gallon, you can have the 96-gallon. We're not doing anything at this time for the garbage end of it, but who knows? That our surrounding communities, a lot of them have both recyclables and garbage in carts, and that seems to be
where people are heading for these days.
And I know that my sister lives in a community that has this, and she has a large family, and the first time I ever saw that big thing in her garage, I thought, oh my gosh, what do you do with this? And they fill it up. I mean, because with all the kids and whatnot. So I can understand where families would probably want that big thing, but I wouldn't. So now that I know there are wheels on the smaller one, I'm happy. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say every day...
Could you please state your name, because we have it on the record.
What?
Could you please state your name for the record?
Oh, Bruce Richardson. I live in a single family on Coronado Court. Every day I walk with my dog. I'm a cardiac patient. And I walk about 4 miles in Franklin every day, unless there's rain or snow. And I don't see any problem with the garbage. And one way or another, these carts, or whatever you want to call them, are going to cost every resident in Franklin money, either through taxes or something. They're not free. And I see no problem. I do see that John, or whoever the garbage provider would be, would want to cut down on his labor costs by automating as much as possible. But there's also the other side of this. You're eliminating jobs, which I don't think anybody's in favor of at this time in this economy. So I'm completely opposed to this. I live alone, and there's no problem. Why are we creating one?
Alderman Taylor, you have it.
I'll wait till we get okay. on the item. It's the first of your
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hi.
My name is Bonnie Bombach. I live at 4396 West Thorncrest Drive. All I can say is yahoo. I think this is the greatest idea. I moved here from Milwaukee about 17 years ago, and we had these kind of cans at that point. It was wonderful. The one thing that I find with the current situation is that when we have windy weather or other kind of snow or other kinds of things, we have garbage kind of blown all over. I live on a corner lot, so I seem to be a recipient of other people's, and they probably of ours as well. As you know, those plastic milk cartons love to fly, and so all of us are out there on garbage day or the day after picking up our garbage or somebody else's that didn't get picked up from those containers. I very much like the containers that we had, which are the same ones that you had shown in the brochure. I like the mama bear one, the medium-sized one. I think that would be great for me. I am a senior, and I live with one other person, and that would be sufficient for my needs at this time. Another thing along the line of recyclables, I think that the way things are going in our society with packaging and the rest, we're probably going to find more and more items that now are going in the garbage that might be recyclable items as time is going on. And I'm fully in support of us getting on board with all the other communities that are using this kind of container. And I applaud you for thinking about doing this. And I personally don't agree with the comments against it. I think even in the wintertime with the snow, when I'm seeing those fellows lifting that stuff, and they're lifting not only the garbage but the snowfall because the container isn't closed, I think there is a better way. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, I totally support your idea and would encourage you to go forward with it.
All right, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Yeah. Anyone that hasn't spoke yet? Okay. Mr. Lewandowski.
I just want to make mention of the fact that the planning department was the one that initiated the procedures for building these so-called hills. They're not berms, they're hills. And I can't get it through this common council to change the wording to make that a hill and not a berm. One of the issues is the fact that when the planning department starts this, they can't do nothing unless the engineering department issues the soil disturbance. So basically, it starts at Bennett again. And, you know, just so you know where it's going, put your clockwork along.
He starts a lot of stuff.
I know. But if you look outside today, he's got grass all over the sidewalk for the last 2 days. He's got the leftovers from grinding the curb goo all over the road, and it goes down the gutter, which is a violation again. And there he sits. And you pay him?
Anyone else wish to speak?
I just want to add something really quickly.
And ma'am, just if you could please state your name.
Margaret Eider. Again, Margaret Eider, 6506 South Parkwood Drive. I'm even against the 48-gallon. I'm not talking about the 96-gallon. I'm talking about the 48. I went to Menards today and looked at the 50-gallon and the 45. Those gals, they are big, and I don't think that this is considering people that live alone, which I do, or somebody that has eats out a lot, you know, or what have you. If you're thinking just in terms of families, that's one thing. So, you know, just so it's real clear, it's bulky to put into the garage, and it's not needed. And I want to make one last comment. I've lived a long time in Franklin, too, and I live on a really windy corner. It is so windy that when the wind comes through, it takes these big barrels with it. So since I leave for work or whatever I want to do for the day a little later than my neighbors, when the windy days are there, I bring their cart up, the one that we use for the other garbage. I bring it up, and it'll fly away. I have to secure it to some ornament that they have in the patio. So the wind aspect, I think it cuts both ways in terms of what it takes away.
Thank you. Yes, sir. If you could please state your name.
Like I said, 8756 West Mellon. On this garbage can issue, I'm in favor of it. I already have the big one. I was lucky enough to get it from the city of West Dallas, where my father-in-law lived. They had had that in for years. And my garbage man loves me because he doesn't have to lift up that whole heavy thing that's full of papers and stuff. Well, mine isn't like that because it's just my wife and I. But my neighbor, he doesn't have this. And he fills up these things. And do you ever lift papers?
Yeah, I lift them every 2 weeks. Yeah. I can put that thing outside.
And it can be an awful lot. And if you put them in one of these things, the garbage man, all he has to do is hook his arm on it, it dumps it, and puts it back down. And they don't take up that much room, contrary to what you think. And they do. They are on wheels.
Sir, very good. If you could just address the chair, please.
All right. They're very convenient to have. So I'm in favor of them. Like I said, I've got one already. I wouldn't mind having another one.
Okay.
On my other subject that I talked on earlier, I got one quick comment. If any construction is done, don't forget Highway 100 in Loomis is a big area for school buses, people running their children to and from schools and everything else. Between September and June, plus if you're going to have road construction and building construction and more road construction on Putes, you do the math. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? If not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period. And let's see. Regular meeting minutes of July 24th.
Motion approved.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item F1, letter from Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources regarding grant from the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. Alderman Taylor.
Well, just that I received this in the mail, and it looked like it was just addressed to me, so I brought it to the city clerk and put it on the agenda. So I haven't, this is for the council to, I guess, do what they want.
I was just asking the planning manager what this was about, because I really have no knowledge of this. This must have went on the agenda Friday.
I brought it in a couple of days after I received it, maybe.
I have no. Did you check with the staff to see if they know what if there's anything about this?
I called the DNR and left them a message. There was nobody there. We did get some additional information from the Conservation Fund. There's two parcels. One is the one of the last remaining parcels next to Pleasant View School. So the Conservation Fund has acquired a couple parcels there already, transferred to the city ownership. This is one of the last ones.
Where are they located?
It's south of the, if 37th Street was extended, it would be just south and west of that.
Okay. I don't remember any application or any action of the Common Council regarding it.
Yeah. Yep.
And Mayor, we did give a letter of support. You signed the one for St. Steva, but not the one for the other parcel. We did the one back in, I don't know, I wrote all my notes on the agenda. We did do one for St. Steva's already. And the other parcel, I believe, is the one that the Park Commission has been interested in. So if that's the case, maybe the chair of the Park Commission might want us to send a letter of support for the second parcel.
I guess what I would ask is that this matter be tabled until such time as the staff has the ability of researching it.
Move to refer to staff.
Second.
It's been moved second. Alderman Skansky has his hand up, and then Alderman Taylor. Alderman Wilman.
Yeah, that was my question. There's no address where it's at and really any specifics, and I don't remember any application going in for it. Because when you got 24 acres and 17 acres, those are pretty good-sized pieces of property. It'd be good for anybody, all the aldermen, to know where the heck this is at. So it's not fun.
Alderman Taylor and then Alderman Wilhelm.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, based on location, it doesn't tell us, but Alderman Wilhelm's basically saying it's by Pleasant View, so that would be in her district, I guess. The second thing is we do have 30 days from the receipt of the letter. So the letter is dated July 17th, so we have till August 17th. So we can do nothing with it. What are we supposed to do? We don't have the answers, but if there's something that we need to do, we may have to be back here before the 17th, or maybe not.
Yeah, I asked Mr. Deedle before we got here if there had been any action of the Common Council regarding a policy or a resolution on this. There was the St. Stephen, Stoppins?
St. Salvas.
Salvas, that there was a letter of support, but this is basically saying a grant has been, in essence, granted.
This is one.
I don't know that there's been any policy decisions on this. So, but it's 30 days.
Right,
so,
right,
so we may have to, in fact, once we find out everything, and we have to have a special council meeting or something. Otherwise, which saying is we could lose the opportunity.
Well, it says, although, right here, it says, although a resolution for or against a grant for land acquisition will be non-binding, the department is required to consider the resolution if it is received within 30 days of your receipt of this letter, which is dated July 17th.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'd like to clarify that the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund has had some changes to it with our new governor in office. One of the things they're now requiring is that the municipality have the opportunity to weigh in, but not necessarily the obligation. And this is just notifying us, hey, just in case you had some big business plans for this area, we're letting you know someone has applied for funding, we're tentatively improving it unless we hear different from you. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
But I'm sure the Conservation Fund, if you want to stay on good terms with them, might appreciate that. We did it for the other parcel. And I have the information because I had the same question on where these were and called and got the map sent to me, and I can forward them to city staff. And if you want to look at where it is, it's right here on my phone. So.
Well, if it helps at all, the secretary of the DNR came down to see me the other day, and when she left, she gave me a big hug, so we're a pretty good relationship.
I think that this parcel is one that the park department was looking at, and it's one of the long, narrow ones right where the proposed trail would need to go if we ever extended over to Northwestern Mutual, which is in our park plan.
I'm not saying against for. I just didn't know anything about it, and I had the staff look to see if there had been any resolutions or policy made decisions on it, and we couldn't find anything. So, okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item G1. Method of obtaining refuse and recycling hauling municipal resident services to be used relative to the refuse contract expiring December 31st, 2012, John's Disposal Service, Inc., 5-year contract term proposal. Alderman Taylor.
Well, just there's a couple things that are brought during the system comment period. I do appreciate people showing up on this issue. First off, I think there was a question whether or not this was a surprise to the Common Council of Recyclables. I've been here over 4 years, and we've been talking about it since I've been here. So obviously we have people that have been here 10, almost 12 years, some longer, involved in these types of issues. and that's been a conversation well before I was here. So that's not a surprise that carts, we talked about it, we went into the bid process for the last contract. Secondly, the survey, obviously, the timing of it isn't perfect, but it accomplished exactly what I wanted it to accomplish. I understand if you don't like the survey or that it was late, but we did have a number of people, about 450 people respond back. 80% of them are in favor. So even if it was sent out a month ago, I can't see those numbers changing dramatically, which tells me that a large percentage of this community would favor the recyclable carts. That being said, I had like four or five emails all in favor of it. That being said, in the comments section, I would recommend starting with the 48-gallon cart, not the 96, because everybody in there is, for the most part, saying 48-gallon, 48-gallon. So I would recommend you start with 48. If people request 96, you get them 96, because based on the numbers and my feedback, you'll get mine back if it's a 96. So I'd rather see 48. Thank you, Your Honor.
Just for clarity for the people in the audience, the flyer did produce this spreadsheet, double-sided, and there's over
437
people that did respond. There was a large spot, and then I received emails, phone calls, bumped into people, and I think many of the aldermen probably will say the same, but it could have gone out earlier, and but we'll have the discussion up here. Alderman Schmidt?
I guess I would concur with Alderman Taylor. Personally, I could easily live with the existing system, being also a household of one person, when I don't even fill up the blue bin on my own. But it seems reaction response I've gotten from the majority of my constituents is that they're in favor of this. And I would concur that I think the large one is definitely an overkill. I'm not going to start parking my car, or I got a second car, and I'm going to start parking that outside because I have to have this gargantuan thing in there to take its place. And as it is with this, with the 48-gallon, I probably only have to pick mine up once a month.
Anyone else? Alderman Solomon.
I'd like to state also that the comment came from the Common Council over two months ago about the carts. And the comment was made by myself that when it's windy out, and in my neighborhood, pickup day is on a Monday, there is crap all over. And two blocks away, there's a city park. My wife and I go into city park probably once a month with a big bag to pick up the milk cartons, the aluminum cans, the water bottles that blew into the first 10 feet of the woods. And if anybody wants to join me and don't think that that happens, I'll tell you what day we'll be there next time. Give me your phone number and we'll take you along.
It'll be at least Monday, right?
Yeah, it'll be at least Monday. But that crap blows all over. I agree with the lady in the back that it's a mess all over. It really is. And those comments came from this Common Council over 2 months ago. So it didn't just happen.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Yes, it's definitely not a new issue. I have email newsletter that I send out to my constituents, and the previous contract that came up when Johns and Waste Management and one other one, when the bids came out, it was being discussed at that time, and I sent out a request to my constituents asking them what their opinions were, and it was nearly 50-50, although there was a little more weight on the idea to go with carts. That was before we had a lot of this flushed out on what would we use, and everyone was concentrating on these 96 gallons, and no one could get their mind off of anything else but that, and that was the reason for the rejection on why they didn't want to go with it. And I continue even before this came before the council at the last meeting, someone says to me, it's recycle day and the recycling is all over the neighborhood. When are we going to move toward this? And I said, well, if all goes well, the next council meeting, it's on the agenda, we might have it before the end of November. Well, that didn't happen. The council decided to get more input. That is why this ended up in the newsletter, that we paid the cost to request input. We didn't have to do that. Most communities just, you elect your elected officials to make these decisions for you, and we come up here and make these decisions. This was an extra effort, an extra cost to try to get your input, and that resulted in quite a few people, regardless of how late it came out. So I also put it in my last newsletter, my July newsletter. So it's been out in at least two newsletters and a couple of specific email requests. And when the recyclers blow around, the cans are a problem in the drains. So the gentleman who was here who says he goes out for walks, I wanted to ask him if he would look down into the storm drains where the water runs and see all the blockage in the bottles and cans that get stuffed down in there, which are extra costs to the taxpayers. And I'm sure our DPW department can talk about the cost of cleaning those out just to keep the water flowing and the flooding damage that's caused when those drains are blocked up by those loose recycled materials that blow around the neighborhood. So this has a lot of benefits. And I'm sorry for the people that are going to have a hard time fitting this in, but hey, at least you're getting one. I have condo people that don't get any unit or any type of even the blue containers. So they have to go out and buy their whatever they can come up with just to get theirs out to the staging area. And I talked with Mr. Bennett about this, and I wanted to suggest this motion. It would be a motion to insert language into John's disposal's contract to allow condo associations currently using dumpsters the ability to opt out of the city pickup so they may provide their own service as business are allowed to do so. And to make the unused blue bins available that have been previously not provided to condo owners that would assist with transporting recycling materials from their residence to a pickup area. And we're going to be getting, if we go with this, we'll have an overabundance of these blue bins, and there's no reason why we can't finally give the condo units who have been paying the same rate as a residential owner something to carry the recycled material out to their staging area. Just because they have a big central dumpster, it's the same thing as you taking yours to the curb. It's like their curb. They still have to get it out of their house, and some of them have to travel a lot further than people do when they go put it on their curb. And they're not getting carts. They're not getting anything.
Was that your motion?
That is my motion. I think what we probably need to do is decide this first about if we're going to do this. And then I would ask whoever, if I'm the maker, whoever is the maker of the motion, to include this or make a second motion after we've made a decision. Thank you.
Hold the middle.
Just real quickly, last time I did this, I like Kristen did a couple of news email blasts. My responses were about 50-50. Phone calls for this issue. By the way, I didn't get a newsletter this morning. It's kind of interesting. But,
we have extras at the library.
Barbara, yeah. I just don't understand how that's going to
happen. Hey, Barbara.
At any rate, my calls on this, I got a few calls, a few emails. They were mostly in favor of the carts, but mostly opposed to the 96 gallons. Sorry, Brian. Relative to the contract, page 5, I'd like to do that. I know personally, I have a 39-gallon Rubbermaid garbage can. According to this contract, you're prohibited from picking it up, even though I leave a bag at the curb. I also note that the next size gallons down is a 33-gallon. So I would urge that we change on page 5 the two references to 32 gallons to just make it 40 gallons. It's a little bit larger. Make it 40 gallons for each one of those restrictions. The following will not be picked up. 40 gallons or over. You have a problem with that, Brian? There's two references on that page. One, Jess, you can read it. Then on page 8, in Jesse's red section, middle of the page, the first paragraph that's highlighted, the replacement cost of $60 for the 48 or 96 gallon cart will be billed directly to the homeowner. Curious as to why there is not a difference in price between the two carts.
If you could please state your name and address.
Okay, I'm Brian Youngiches, representing John's Disposal, N107 County Road U, Whitewater, Wisconsin. You know, a lot of that cost is the actual, you know, labor to, I mean, we're going over there and switching them, and that, it's a pretty big cost. So, and I think it just keeps the whole implementation of the whole thing easier. We charge the same.
So we would tell our constituents that the cost of the carts is really about $100, but you're giving them a break. You're giving them the 48 gallons.
If they went to buy a cart, they could not buy one, I don't think, for $60. And one about the size of the cans, it's one of the reasons we're proposing this. There's a tremendous amount of 96-gallon carts in the neighborhoods already that really technically our safety people say our guys shouldn't even be emptying them because they have to hand lift them, and people want the bigger cans. I've never seen a contract that had over 32-gallon cans in it, but it's our policy that we just, I mean, the contract is always says 32. If you look in your neighborhoods, I think you'll be surprised at how many actually 96s are out there. And technically, we shouldn't even be emptying them because they're hotter in their bags. But, of course, we're trying to. We pick bags out or we do whatever we have to.
It would, by the way, Council, it would not break my heart if this number stays. Because John's, or Brian's guy picks up.
So let me just get back to page 5 with your suggestion. Let me just look at the Council. Is there any objections to the suggestions by Alderman Olson? Just want to, as we get along, we'll incorporate it in a motion. Okay. Alderman, you have the floor.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I'll finish that.
Alderman Skowronski has his hand up.
Yeah, well, my district has a combination of different things. Very rural, very long drives, and for somebody to use a 96-gallon cart, they're not going to haul it down on 500-foot driveway and things like that. A lot of the people in the rural area either put those small bins and everything in the back of their car or pickup, bring it down to the road, and then they have a hell of a time if somebody don't wipe it out with a plow or with a car because it's a small shoulder. So there's pros and cons on this. The people in the subdivisions, I have two calls. That's all I've had about this whole thing. Pros and cons. One, it's a 50-50. One wanted it, one didn't want it. So people either are complacent about this whole thing or so far they haven't decided what they want to do on it. So I have another problem with this because this can go out for open bid. And I'm very adamant about having this open bid. Because that's the best way to serve the community and serve the residents on knowing what the deal they got. Just because you're here and you've done a good job, and I have a lot of compliments. I've had a few people, but nothing serious. I'm still very adamant about what's good for the residents on having a public bid. There are other companies that should have had the opportunity to do this, and that's what I'm about. But as far as the size of the bin, I agree. There are a lot of people that cannot lift that large or bring it out because it's extremely big, and it does make it difficult for them. So it's one size is not going to fit all. And I realize you're trying to save money dollar-wise in order that it's going to reflect on your bid. But it's still the point of, John mentioned earlier, it's only adding 48 cents for a year for that cart. And that's for 5 years. That's about $2 and a little less than 50 cents. Now, where do you come up with the price of that cart's over $100? Okay. So,
I think these are just comments.
Well, I'm still saying, you know, if you make that comment, Jack, don't tell everybody it's 48 cents a year, and then this cart, if somebody has to replace it, it's $100 or more. So, I went through this thing, and I do have more questions on it. I'm still not satisfied, but I'm still adamant about this contract, or this proposal should have went for open bid. to other purveyors.
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, just a couple of things. A good part of the cost of the carts are offset by the efficiency the contractor's going to have. This is a negotiated contract. This is not something at this point in time that either one side can agree to. So I think you probably need to get the comments from John's, if he's willing to change the contract, or do we send the contract back for more negotiations, or what? So maybe with that, turn it over to John's, if you're willing, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I would say as far as the profitability money, I mean, we take contracts either way. Last year we started fully automated ones that have carts, and we started them the old-fashioned way. The reason that I'm pushing this is I have efficiency, but I have to put out over $500,000 for the carts. I lose everything I gain by having to put all this money out, so it's about a tie. We do it either way. The reason that I'm doing this is because I feel your residents will like it better. It's a practical thing. The little bins don't hold enough for most of your people. These definitely will improve the recycling. We've done it 50,000 homes. I mean, you will improve your recycling. Your neighborhoods will look better. And I believe that the vast majority of the people, of your residents, will like these carts better, but not all of them. Some of the people won't. I feel strongly about starting with a 96-gallon cart. I mean, like I said, we have 50,000 households with these carts. We have 100,000 carts out there for garbage recycling. People often, when we first ask them, they want the smaller one, but then they switch to the bigger one. We normally find a community, and I think if this thing all shook out, especially because a lot of the condo owners, the elderly are in condos, and they would be able to keep the little bins, that we would have less than 10% of the people in your whole city that would have the smaller ones. 90% would keep the big ones. So, but the elderly can have them right away, and disabled will even carry the garbage, the recycling out for them. So that's really not an issue. And then we like to switch later, so.
Okay, Alderman Taylor.
Well, here's the thing. I'm looking at the feedback we got from the residents that did take the time to fill it out. And, you know, like any type of polling, you know, you have a small percentage of the population. I think if you asked everybody, if everybody sent it back in, you'd have 10,000 responses, and you would have very similar results. They'd be saying, for, you know, majority would be saying 80%, yes, we want it, and 48 gallons is the way we want to go. Right now, we have 18-gallon tubs. So even if a person has two, that's only 36 gallons. So I can't see the majority in this community having 96. You're going from 18 to 96 like that. I don't buy it. And so I'm looking at just the input that we've gotten from the community. So I'd like to see, you know, we had Alderman Olson recommend some changes. I totally agree with those. My recommendation that I'd like to see is instead of starting with 96, we start with 48. And, you know, if the council doesn't like that, then they could disagree. But I, based on the feedback, I think 96 is overdoing it. I'd like to see 48. That would be my recommendation throughout the contract to implement the starting being the 48-gallon.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess you're willing to take the risk and the cost if you end up with this 96 and then say three-quarters of the city decides they want 48, you're willing to take that on. If you get that many requests, you're going to go out and replace them all.
Yes. I mean, we've done this 25 different times in different communities, and I'm really confident that it would. I don't know that I could agree. I mean, the 48s, it would kill me. And I think because I'd have to go, I know that I'd be taking half of them back from your city. If I do the 96 as my experience, and having done this in many other communities that are similar, you know, my experience is that people, you know, the alternative, in my opinion, would be more allow people to call in, and then, which to me is troublesome too. And then, like, we would just immediately give the people that wanted it a 48, because I truly believe that if you just let us bring the 96s out, because part of it is it's a different way of recycling. See, we're changing this whole thing. I think a ton of your residents are still doing it the old-fashioned way, where they're putting their papers in a brown paper bag and they're putting them on top of the bin, because that's kind of what you need to do, or you have litter all over. This new recycling with single stream is you just mix it all, and when you just put it in there, you don't, you know, maybe they're not flattening things as well as they used to, but I find that residents just, I mean, they just, they love the large size. I mean, Greenfield, I think we have 95% of the residents of Greenfield have the large carts.
Well, So I guess the risk, it's your risk. It's not the city's risk. The residents can get satisfied with the 96 or the 48 by just going through the system and the process. So
we're talking about 30 days later. On February 1, or hopefully we can start this fall, actually, after 30 days, anybody calls, they get whatever one they want, we can switch them back. And in Greenfield, we did that. I mean, we did, some people ordered the small ones before we started, and brought in the small ones, and then they wanted the big ones, so we've three times.
And I want to know if you, you wouldn't have any objection to the second part of my motion allowing the condo residents to actually get a bin, because that doesn't really affect you. Do you have any objection to the condo associations that have the bins to be able to contract out? Because I don't know how many there are, but if they contract with you directly, it may be more money and they may never do it. But why shouldn't they be able to have the option? Because it's kind of a problem where, people are getting full services for the 104 and the condo units are having to pay for their bins anyway, so they might as well contract directly.
Yeah, well,
you have to, I'm not talking about the bins they have to pay. They don't get bins. I'm talking about the dumpsters that they have to pay rent on anyway, in addition to the $104, plus not getting any carry-out bins. So they're losing on all those different angles, and why not just go directly with you and not have to pay the city the $104 and just pay you directly?
To answer that question, I would kind of have to talk to my people, because, for me, that's part of this whole contract is now we have all these condominiums in here. It's part of what we bid on in the first place, and it's what we're doing here. So if we just let anyone's leave, I don't know if we, I don't know if we would. I just can't really, I have to think about that and talk to my people before I commit to just allowing any of them to
Do you know how many have dumpsters that they're renting?
Well, there's a pretty big list, there's...
Right, but some of them are already using the bins, like this woman here, who she says her unit uses the
little
18
blue
gallons.
And that's the one thing that I did is we knew there would be a problem with the condominiums here you go, here's a 96. I mean, we're practical because we've been through this so many times. So that was in our original offer, is that each condominium association could choose to stay with the little blue bins that they have now, or they could get the carts,
but they can't, because
some of them can't.
No,
a lot of
what
them
I'm saying is they can't choose to stay with little blue bins if they never got little blue bins and the city never gives them little blue bins to start with. There's not a choice. That's not an option for them because they never had little blue bins to start with. That's never been given. If they wanted to get one, the city would say, sorry, you live in a condo, go buy your own container even though you pay the full $104.
Well, rephrase that.
Plus, pay for your recycle bin as well, the big dumpsters. Plus, pay for that too.
I think the beauty of this is that we're offering the condominiums to stay with whichever service they're comfortable with. They can stay with a little blue bin service. They can switch over to the big carts like all those homeowners have. So they're equal. If a condominium says, I want to put carts at the road, and like some of the townhouse ones, I suspect they will. Or they can stay with the dumpster program. So I think it's as accommodating as you're going to find anywhere with a program like this.
It would be great. When I'm looking at the sheet that's in here, is Debbie in engineering went to the trouble of contacting the different municipalities on what they do, and they say, oh, this municipality doesn't provide it, and no, and nothing to condos. This one doesn't, this one. So I called them, and I found out, yes, they don't provide anything to condos, but they also don't charge them on their tax bill. So I had one of the departments or municipalities send me one from a tax bill from a condo, and then send me one for a residential area, and then send me one for an apartment. So I have all the proof to show that the city of Franklin is not doing what the other municipalities are doing. If they're in a condo, we still charge them on their tax rolls. We don't do that with businesses. Businesses get to consult with whoever they want and go out for a bid or whatever, but the condo units that have enclosed dumpster areas pay both ways and get no cart.
So,
Because there has been no contract awarded yet.
Right.
That's what the council is considering.
Right.
You've got Alderman Taylor that's stating he'd like to see, because of the survey results, not 96, but 48. As Alderman Wilson has brought up some things on page 5. Alderman Wilhelm is basically saying, this is what I'd like for the condos. So, I mean, it's just so everybody remembers, we're still in a state of called
right.
negotiation.
Right.
Yeah, and so Alderman Skransky and Alderman Wilhelm, were you finished?
Well, I guess, to me, I think if you give them the option, the inconvenience of having to bring in that money from each resident is probably going to have them not really want to do that, because then it's they're responsible to collect it. Well, right now, they have to collect the money from the city. They still have to collect for the, you know, $90 every 3 months to rent the recycle bins. But I think that would deter a lot of them from changing. But I think that as a municipality, we owe them to have an option to be able to do that rather than making them pay and then pay again.
Alderman Skaronski, Alderman Taylor, Alderman Solomon.
Yeah, Jack, on the all the community events on the containers, are those all included within this contract? I'm trying to define it here. Like for the 4th of July, St. Martin's Fair, the monthly fairs, all the other activities, the activities in all the parks, all those containers are varied sizes are included into this contract. So there's nothing missing. Or for future, what do we have for in the future that we should be looking at now that should be in this contract for events or things of that nature?
We have everything in that people have requested. I guess if we have a new event, we have to include it. But we don't know what the new event is going to be. It's pretty hard to put in the contract.
Well, I understand that. It's just that, you know, as we're talking about things here, not that we get into something real picky and starts falling between the cracks. Because I still think we got a lot of negotiating to go here. But I'm asking the question.
My knowledge, everything's in there that we need, and for the buildings, it's not. They have to really provide the number of dumpsters that we need for each building.
The city buildings.
Yeah, for the city buildings. Obviously, if we build a new building, I think we'd have to negotiate that. But this provides for all the buildings that we have now.
Okay.
And if they have more waste, like the library, we start out with smaller ones, and now we've had to put larger ones in there, but that's all part of the contract.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Taylor, Alderman Solomon.
Yes, Your Honor, Alderman Solomon was ahead of me.
Okay, Alderman Solomon, Alderman Taylor.
I'd like to express my displeasure with bringing up this issue on condominiums. That's a separate issue, not John's contract. He doesn't know what your or anybody's condominium association agreement is. And that's in the agreement as to how it's picked, handled. That is. You know, a lot of these condominiums, a lot of these places have smaller streets. Can't pick them up with a big truck. Where you've got to have that little cart like they've got in Hale's Corners, picking up garbage and then transferring it again. And you as an individual determine that this is where you want to live and these are the rules where you live. So
it's a city policy. It's not a condo rule. I can tell you that because I've lived there and I've lived in a residential home for 17 years and I've lived in a condo for like 7. So I know.
Alderman,
well,
it might be for all of us. Just address your comments to the chair, not get into back and forth.
Misinformation is not helpful for anyone.
Right, and I would just say that when I remember being an alderman, you can bring up anything you want, anytime you want. Alderman Solomon, you have the floor.
I'm done.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. The mayor, yeah, a couple things. You know, this is negotiation right now, all right? Now, Alderman Olson had a few recommendations. Alderman Wilhelm has a recommendation. I have a recommendation. Don't forget, Alderman Skaronski would like to see this go out to bid still. And frankly, if we can't get to an agreement, that could still happen. I mean, that's reality. And
that's right.
I'm looking at the PR side of the city here, is what I'm looking at. 20% of the people don't want it. Now, maybe it's 25%. You actually had people showing up and more spoke against it than in favor of it. If this would have had more notification, maybe even more would show up. Just like when you change your radio station, you don't like it. The people that call them bitch are the ones that don't like it. So here's the deal. I'm looking at the PR side. For those that don't like it, a monstrosity of 96 gallons, they're not going to be happy. They're going to get this thing out of my house. It's a lot easier to have a smaller one there, and someone says, you know what, I can actually use a bigger one. All I got is 18 now, maybe 36. Maybe I have three of them. That's why I'm looking at 48 to 96, because if you look at the PR situation where you're going to have people dropped off these big ones that are not going to fit in their homes, all right, the smaller garages. You look at some of the smaller homes throughout the older homes in this community that have a one-car garage, and you can barely get that one car in there, that probably have a recycle bin on the outside. Now imagine this thing sitting there. So that's my point on the 48. It's a lot easier for those that are upset to start with the 48 instead of this 96, which you know is not going to fit.
I think we've kind of worked out maybe a compromise between them. We have John's get out a notification in advance, and the people that want the 48-gallon can request the 48-gallon. It won't be just disabled, and it won't be just elderly, but anybody can request the 48-gallon.
And how do you propose doing that?
Johns will put out a notice, and they will get the phone calls. Is that?
If I can address that.
Sure.
Normally, there's something that needs to come from the city saying that we're doing this, because if we say it and then you put our phone number on there, because otherwise they think it's our idea. So there needs to be something officially from the city saying we're doing this program, and you can call John's to arrange for. And then maybe what I would do as my staff is to say we would ask people to please try. Maybe that would say please try the 96 gallon, but if you're not willing to try it, we'll do the 48. My concern with giving everyone a 48 has been my experience. I have to buy $500,000 of dollars worth of these carts, and I'm afraid if I miss that, I mean, if I'm off by half, I have $250,000 worth of carts that, I mean, it would be, and they take a tremendous amount of space. So it's my experience is that we about 90% stick with a big one or switch to it. So that would be a compromise, is that people can call us and we'll switch it before we even start.
Well, I would.
Or we'll deliver them the 48.
Well, I think that would be the right thing to do. That way people also know what's coming in a way, yep, in advance. And otherwise, I was going to tell you right now, I'll give you my address. You can bring a 48 if that's the way we go, because I'm not going to have a 96. There's just no need for it. I don't even fill up the 18.
Well, and again, before we all come to a conclusion, this is a long ways from being resolved. Alderman Schmidt, and Alderman Olson, and Alderman Skoransky.
I kind of scanned over this survey, and of the 351 who responded in favor of the carts, I found only one who said that they preferred the 96 size, but everyone else side. It seemed to be a fairly overwhelming. I don't think a lot of these are going to be rejecting the smaller version.
Alderman Skoransky. Alderman Olson, Alderman Skoransky.
The guy in the end over there.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Skoransky.
A couple of things. First off, I don't haul trash for a living. Ryan does. If he tells me that he wants to put the 96s out there because in his experience most of them will keep it, and he's taking the risk of having them swapped out, give me a 96 for a month. I'm telling you, my car's going to hang out my garage door. You're going to get it back at the end of the 30 days. But if you want to take that risk, I say, let's use his experience. Although I agree with Steve, we're going to have a lot of 48s in the city. But I don't know that. So let's let them take the risk. Second thing is, I know that it's now 8 o'clock. We're on item G1.
Right. Mm-hmm. 18.
We've been killing every issue that we talk about tonight. I would say that we've offered comments to staff, refer it back to staff for final contract negotiations.
The move in the second.
And one other point. I do agree with Alderman Wilhelm. There is an issue with how we build condominiums, mm-hmm, and provide them the service. So I would, as a second part of my motion, move to direct staff to place that on committee, the next committee of the whole, for discussion and resolution, along with a complete report by the city engineer.
Can I ask you to make a separate motion?
Sure.
To be less.
So first motion is to refer back to staff for...
Right, and it was seconded by Alderman Solomon. Under discussion, Alderman Skoransky.
Yeah, I would say, you know, people sometimes have a bad memory of how big things are. Why don't we put a sample of each one of these at the fire stations, at the library, at the city hall, and let the people go by and drive by, put a big number on them, let them know what the hell they look like. because when you see it, it gives you reality. This way you'll answer a lot of questions, right? If you have to do strap at the parks or something, but put them where people can see them. And then I think that's going to help you too before you start investing a lot of money in big containers or small containers that you're going to have those sitting in your yard, and I'm sure you don't want that. So a little time of show and tell will help you tremendously.
One quick comment, and that's that I believe the flyer went out. I think it was very helpful. However, not everyone reads the newsletter. Not everyone reads everything that's in the flyer. And we did get 400 of these back, but how many residents do we have? 14,000.
About 11,000. About 10,000 pickups.
So we have 10,000 pickups, and so 400 people responded. But I still think it's good that it happened. All right, motion on the floor has been seconded.
Read the motion.
Madam Clerk, please read back the motion.
Alderman Olson moved to refer the contract with John's disposal to staff for final determination.
Okay. Any further
final contract negotiations.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Was there a second motion, Alderman Olson?
Do you want to make it quick?
No problem.
Move to place on the next committee the whole agenda the issue of condominium billing for waste and recycling handling and request that staff return a full report on number of condominium units and the type of service they are currently getting and what they're paying for.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 2, request to purchase digital compatible mobile and portable radios for the police department from the Capital Improvement Fund. Chief Oliva and Officer Schrader.
Motion approval.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, just want to say greatly appreciate once again everything that your officers, your department did this past week, accidents and the way you responded to Oak Creek. And I know that I speak for all the residents and the aldermen that we, I think we were all reminded how tough your jobs are and how dangerous your jobs are.
So, Chad.
On behalf of all of us, I wish you would extend that to them. And then the way you handled last night's situation at the funeral home, I thought was outstanding. And also the presentation of the celebration last night, with all of that going on, the handling of the traffic, I think I speak for all of us. I think everyone greatly appreciates the way that you've handled it and how professional your department is.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'll pass it on.
There's a motion that's been made and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Olson. No, I was just, well, you, I was going, you got priority. You're an Alderman.
My question is simple. Where are we coming up with the extra $50,000 that we're short?
Mr. Patterson?
Mr. If it helps, these are 48-gallon radios, so.
You got to carry them?
With wheels?
Okay. This is what we need, a funny police chief.
Don't have an answer for you on Alderman Wilson's question. Not agenda item 4 deals with the same issue. Capital Improvement Fund is short of money due to some estimated revenue not being received. We don't have enough money for what the fund is budgeted, much less the amount that's being requested. Second issue in dealing and talking with Officer Schrader, the amount that's being requested had a computation error, and instead of the 226, it should be 238,000 in the motion. Basically, there were attachment 3, there were two parts, and the second part was left off the computation inadvertently. So, it's a $61,000 issue. It's kind of a $49,000 issue. But we don't have a source of funds readily available in the capital improvement fund.
we do have an option for you if you if that is a big issue.
Alderman Olson.
Well, Chief, you know I'm right in there with support, but we don't have the money. So, what's your option?
The option would be because as this was presented for the last several years, we were under the direction of the county on this issue, and they have directed us for many years that January 1st, 2013 was a drop-dead date to convert to digital radios, and that we were led to believe that at that point the current radios would be worthless. Since this subject came up, we've been advised that January 1st, 2013, like they said, the digital radio system will be in place, but their intent is to leave the analog radio system live, but they will not be providing any support, replacement parts, or service. So we could reduce that amount currently somewhat and put the balance in 2013 under the understanding that if the analog system would break down, that we would be coming back to you to finish off the request. We could probably work with 32 radios. That's probably the bottom line critical need, that if the analog system went out, we could stumble along until we came back to you for the balance. So if that is an issue, we could amend the request under the understanding that you would look at the balance for 2013.
I have a philosophical question. Why is it when the county wants us to spend money, their deadlines are firm? When we want them to rebuild roads...
Do you want me to answer? Do you want this Taylor to answer that? Or?
No, it's a rhetorical question. Thank you very much. I'm finished.
I hear a rhetorical right. answer.
Mr. Liberta.
No problem, my friend.
I thought you had your hand up.
Oh, yeah.
The council might want to set this item briefly aside and take up number four,
right.
because there are some discussions there on methodologies that might make funding available yet this year. If you chose to try and provide all the radios.
Alderman Taylor?
I'll withdraw my motion and just... We'll hold this over and go to the guy G4
move directly
first.
To 4?
Yeah.
Okay, item G4, Capital Improvement Fund Revenue Shortfall.
Mr. Chairman, it's never fun to bring bad news, but we still have to bring it if it exists. The basic situation in the Capital Improvement Fund is one of our revenue sources was projected based upon the new landfill agreement. Some of the fine print in the landfill agreement reduced the amount of landfill siting fees that we'll receive in 2012. That's caused us to reduce our revenue forecast by $227,000, from 427 to 209. So basically, the Capital Improvement Fund, if we approve the remaining projects that are there, would be $156,000 in the hole for this year. And it's a range, depending upon exactly what's spent, of $100,000 to $157,000. So the options that are shown on G4 are deferring a project, which we're just hearing something about. Unless that revenue source picks up next year, we still have the same issue. It just happened in 2013 rather than 2012. There's not many other choices. One could be to reallocate some one-time funds that we had just allocated for two of the other capital funds. The other source of funds would be our general fund balance is over $6 million, and we could transfer some money from the general fund to the Capital Improvement Fund to enable projects that have been budgeted for this year and or next to have adequate funding for that period.
Okay.
The last option would be to borrow the money with the debt service fund being responsible out of its tax levy for the repayment of those funds. 3 and 4 are the more long-term solution type options. Well, two, three, and four would, but the two involves making two other funds less stable than they are right now.
Okay, Alderman Solomon?
I move to transfer $150,000 from the fund balance of the general fund.
Second.
To that point, Mr. Chairman?
To the capital improvement.
If you want to consider the additional that the police department needs, that would have to be 211.
Move to transfer $220,000 from fund balance to the capital improvement fund.
Second.
Okay. I want to see our police officers out there with radios that don't work.
That's right.
Alderman Taylor?
The right now we're at 26%.
Correct.
What is this move? Roughly.
I didn't. Probably 25, 24, 25. It isn't going to move much.
Within our policy. It's supposed to be between what percentages?
Our policy is if it's below 20, we look to bring it up. If it's above 25, we can use some of the funds.
So this is, there's a reason why we have this fund for situations like this.
Yes.
This is the perfect time to do it where there are some needs. And you know, we can continue to kick the can down the road. This time, I think it's wise to move that money over, and let's take care of the item 2. And thank you, Your Honor.
Alderman Olson.
This one's a tough one for me because I sat on finance and was one of the guys that wanted to put the reserve, our fund balance limits in place. And so I get the idea that we've got a lot of money in the fund balance. We're over what we expect. But I also look at fact that I did not vote for the budget the last year simply because I felt we spent too much money. Now here I see that we've made an omission of sorts with one of our contracts, and now I have a 50% reduction in the revenue stream that's unanticipated. So you know, my sense is I have to vote no on this motion. And I agree with Alderman Solomon. It makes no sense to not have the police department have 100% uniformity in the radios. So I don't know how I'm going to vote on that one either, because now we're spending money that we really don't have in the budget. I understand we're moving money around, but it's not in the budget. So, but the larger issue is this. Who's going to review the landfill contract to find out if we'll ever recover this revenue stream? Mr. Mayor.
I guess it would be me and the city attorney, who is the chief negotiator. The way that this is written up, as you're asking me, you have, however, the new agreement provided reimbursement based on net tonnage, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that I've heard and observed is that because we don't have as much construction, et cetera, is that there's simply not as much many things going into the landfill. I just met with the secretary of the DNR about the full extent of that landfill agreement before everybody gets a little excited here. It's projected over, the 30-year period, about $200 million coming out of the landfill. So while this is before you kill the negotiators and all the people that spent 9 years on negotiating this agreement, including Alderman Solomon, it's probably one of the best deals that was ever put together anywhere in the country, not
right.
The world. So, but we'll look into it as far as the. I don't know if that's what I'm saying, Steve, is that I don't know that I necessarily agree with the language in here. Maybe there's another reason for the shortfall.
Well, Mr. Meyer, I hope you recognize that I asked the question in kind of the alternative. I'm not going to mention, but Cal's not entitled there. He knows what. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to that point, the landfill negotiations were based on three levels of revenue, 350 tons, 430 tons, and 650 tons. The budget was based upon 430 tons. But there was a fine print in there that said some of those 433 tons they don't have to pay the siting fee on, which escaped our forecast. So we have...
Sure, no, let you off the hook, Cal, and you took it, by the way.
Well, it is what it is. It's on page 53. And to say that no one's monitoring it, if that was the implication, that it is being monitored, what being received, and we're revising it. The city attorney had pointed out to us that there is a limit on the free material, which we will build in. So the agreement is being monitored.
City attorney, Jim.
Only that subject terms are after 9.5 years of negotiation, exact same terms for beneficial use of material credit, as well as free tipping for all Franklin residential waste, not resulting in direct payment. That's the same as that was part of the negotiation.
Alderman Taylor and Mr. LeBur.
Thank you. I think anytime you do a budget, which we've been involved in before now, it's not an exact science. It's based on projections, and sometimes revenue doesn't come in, and here's a situation where it doesn't. And there's times where we've been, where we've brought in more money in the past than we projected. So I think, the mayor's absolutely correct that the contract is a very good one, and $200 million is the ultimate number. I look at this as no more than a little blip, a little speed bump, and construction will improve and things will come back and we'll be all right, but let's move on. We've got a long night.
Mr. Libero?
If the $6.1 million is 26%, then just doing some simple algebra, removing $220,000 would leave you at 25.06%. So you're still above your top line.
For above the policy for the general fund. And that's...
Thank you.
Yeah, for the general public, that's the rainy day fund. Okay, do we have a motion?
Yep.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Back to two.
Your Honor, motion to approve the, 238,000 to purchase the... digital radio system.
3 second.
Second.
The move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it.
Motion Mr. Chairman, carries. Could we put a hold on item 3 and we'll go out and rework it so that budget modification can include items 2 and 4?
I mean, table is tonight or?
Table to a little bit later tonight.
Sure.
We'll bring it back in a little bit.
Turn to item 5, City of Franklin Board of Water Commissioners report to the Common Council upon Public Service Commission. Mr. Bennett.
Yes, we have received the Oak Creek's rate request, and that has been approved by the Public Service Commission. They ended up requesting a 41% increase in the wholesale rate. Board of Water Commissioners contested this, and we're able to reduce this down to 31%. We were a little disappointed. We felt that we could have reduced it more, but the Public Service Commission didn't see it our way. It's most to inform you, the Board of Water Commissioners actually took no action. And we left the meeting. There was no action taken.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion?
Your Honor?
Yeah. I ask that this item be placed on tonight's agenda, and I went to the Board of Water Commissioners last meeting, and I went to today's meeting to discuss this. As you all know, the Board of Water Commissioners is a separate governmental entity, and while I make the recommendations to you for appointment and you confirm, just like the Library Board, once we do that, how they operate is pretty much up to them. But I felt it important that the general public doesn't necessarily know what we're in charge of and what we're not in charge of. I get questions all the time about, so why are you putting the school referendum forward? And I have nothing to do with the school referendum. And you, I'm sure you get all the same things. Or what about that, what are you doing with Whitnall Park? Well, it's Milwaukee County's, and we don't have anything to do with that. Same holds true when people will get their water bill. And I wanted the Common Council to be fully informed, or as informed as possible, as to what has transpired, what the case was about. As Jack said, and this is important for you to also understand, it is the Oak Creek Water Commission, not the Common Council, not the mayor of Oak Creek, that requested a 41% rate increase. When we saw this, of course, we thought immediately that it was totally unjust and unfounded, et cetera, et cetera. And we had the best, you know, municipal attorney in the state to go after them, and I think he did an absolutely terrific job, as he usually does. But nonetheless, just bring it to a head, you may get questions about the rate increases. And I think now you'll at least be able, with this decision in here, be able to talk somewhat intelligently about what's going on. I think it's safe to say that the Board of Water Commissioners is considering all of their options, examining the decisions and the soundness of the decisions, and what moves they will or will not take. And so they've been conferring with their attorney and their advisors. And I don't know that anybody would disagree. I think we probably have one of the best Board of Water Commissioners any place, too. We have a lot of that going on in Franklin. They're meeting with the staff, they're meeting with the attorneys, and they're taking everything under consideration. So should something come forward, this is a result of, correct me if I'm wrong, an administrative law judge coming up with a decision.
Is that definitely?
Staff administrator. So, and you know, Alderman Olson, we've had lots of experience with what can or cannot go into decisions and how people will view things and then come out with their decisions. Mr. Bennett did furnish you, I believe, with a listing of other municipalities and rate increases that they may or may not have had some. I'm not saying that 15.5% is any small increase in rates, but I guess some of the other municipalities had increases of 53% and above. So clearly we're not happy about this, but again, I just wanted to bring this to your attention and let you know that the Board of Water Commissioners is doing everything possible to look at all of their options. And I don't think that any action is required. This is for informational purposes. Is that correct, Mr. Bennett? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
There was a motion.
Oh, there's a motion to place on file.
Okay.
It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I have it. Motion carries. Item 6, quarry monitoring proposals. Mr. Liberta.
There are two council actions requested. First thing, the staff. The group that reviewed the RFPs received did unanimously recognize Stantec as the consultant best suited to provide quarry monitoring services, but also noted that the second one, SCS BT Squared is their name, is competent and capable of performing it if a contract can't be worked out with Stantec. And the second aspect of the council action sheet addresses the fact that both of the returns that we received were significantly more expensive than the amount appropriated, which is the $42,000 that can be charged back approximately to the quarries this year. Stantec's price for the full scope, which was sort of
best case scenario, if you're trying to monitor all aspects, which is the air quality monitoring, the blast monitoring, side inspections, more frequent reports than we used to get, and complete independence of the process from city staff, that brought $159,000. The second place was $91,807. Both of the companies indicated a willingness to still be interested in participating if the scope of services were reduced to $42,000. Both offered a number of suggestions on ways we could reduce the cost. And so we recommended two motions, the first being a motion to direct staff to finalize a contract with Stantec. And you can do so for the full scope of services as identified in the RFP. That would require directing us to come back with the necessary budget modification, which would be substantial. The second could be to direct staff to attempt to negotiate a contract with the revised scope of services with Stantec. And if we're unable to do that with SCSBT squared, and to achieve the best balance between cost and appropriate reduced scope of services. If you give us that direction, the council action sheet does say that to aid in the process, staff would appreciate any input the common council members as to what elements of proposed monitoring are most and least importance to you, and your position on potential use of city staff to help defer costs.
I did not have a chance to get through all of this, and I had a lot of questions and no time to discuss any of this with you, so I'm going to move to table this to the next council meeting so I can go over some of this.
Second.
So I moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Mr. Bennett, you're here.
No, I'm not.
He admitted it, too.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, sir. There is a lot to digest in this, and obviously it's kind of alarming what the totals were, or what the bids that they proposed. So I think there is time to need to review this so that we can make some modifications, whatever, to bring this cost more in line with what we're projecting to spend.
Alderman Olson?
Actually, I thought the dollars that came back were cheap compared to what you were asking for. I mean, we threw in everything but the kitchen sink that we wanted in the monitor for $42,000. You can't tell me that $91,000 bid isn't cheap for what you want. Come on. I don't expect the bill to want to cut their bid in half, but they will figure it out.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I have to agree with everything Alderman Olson just said. I mean, this has gotten, I think, blown way out of proportion. All right? After everything there, everything I've heard, do we have a problem? Not as big as it's being made out. So, you might as well go back, go sit back down, come back with a contract. But if we're looking for any more than $42,000, I will not support it.
I have to go along with that. I think what has requested here is way out of the realm of what's needed. It's over the board. It's excessive. As far as I'm concerned, let the DNR do their work. Why are we doing it? I wouldn't vote for this at all.
Anyone else?
I need a second.
You do a motion.
We have a motion.
To table to the next council meeting.
I just want to add briefly, we anticipated that the cost would come in high because we knew we were sort of putting out the perfect world for all of the areas we wanted to view. But because we anticipated it could come high, we put some things in the RFP for them to submit. Itemized detail of hours spent on each task, itemized cost. So we can really now go back and say, okay, if we peel this much off, and get an idea. It still comes down to a negotiation. They have certain overhead. You know, everything's not directly lineal when you break costs up. But we have a lot more information now. So I still think the process we chose to do it gave us good, valid information to be able to now identify the best vendor and now we can negotiate the best contract based on the budget. So the process, although it looks like, oh, no, we missed, it actually was right on target and will enable us to do what we were attempting to achieve.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilbon.
I just would like you to continue to work on those lists
for
the next meeting.
Excuse me. Are you leaving?
Yes, sir.
Before you leave, if it's okay, I complimented the police chief, but your fellows were down there.
Yeah.
I was on the accident where the little girl was trapped in the car, and as usual, your team performed just admirably, and couldn't be prouder of it.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that.
And I'm sure all of us, we all
appreciate that.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Alderman Wilbon.
I guess he wants to respond to my comment.
No, I was actually going to, I just wanted to publicly thank the two citizen members who worked with staff in reviewing the RFPs. As you saw in your packet, there was a lot to do. And those citizen members also had to help prepare questions, sit through the interviews, read all this. And that was Martin Shore and John Miglitz spent a lot of time working with us. And we just really appreciated their input and participation in the process.
So I guess the follow-up, will you be able to, at the next meeting at the table, have a more complete list of the items proposing to be cut?
What I will probably do is list that as closed session because it goes into negotiation of a contract.
Okay.
And so I'll probably incorporate something to give you some idea of what I think we might be able to get. I really don't want to negotiate an open session, but that will give you some idea of what you might be able to get for that area. So then you can tell us whether you want us to target air quality monitoring, blast monitoring, site visits, the opacity okay. with the dust. And we, unless the city attorney talks differently.
And will you also, with that, find out what the DNR's role in this? Because I keep hearing, let the DNR do their job. We don't have to do anything as a city. Now, I don't really know what the DNR does, and I think maybe this council might need to know the answer to that. And so, because I keep hearing that comment. I heard it three times tonight, twice sitting up here.
I believe we'll be able to give you comment, but since I can't speak for how the DNR does and what the rest of it, we'll give you an answer. I'll give you a comment. Sorry, I'm mixing words.
All right. Well,
I can give you my best.
We can talk about it. We don't have to bring here. You can just inform me unless everyone else wants to know or whatever, but okay, a couple others would like to know as well, so...
All right, I have number G7, a resolution authorizing certain officials to accept a conservation easement for and as part of the renewal, review, and approval of an amendment to Plan Development District Number 22 for the Franklin Meadows Senior Independent
Living
Apartment.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? A motion to approve in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item G8, resolution approving the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and our 208 compliance maintenance resolution.
Move
report.
That.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item G9, professional service agreement between the City of Franklin and Racine County for service to verify the certified soil testers soil and site evaluation.
So
second.
Motion approved and a second. Any discussion? No discussion? Mark.
Just two quick things. Racine County, it appears, prefers to do this as a 2012 and a 2013 contract, essentially the same. So the last sentence on 7 will likely be eliminated, and there'll be 2 that we do. So the motion would be as written, except saying motion to approve professional service agreements and execute such agreements through 2013. Same thing, it'll just be 2 documents.
Is that the maker of the motion? Is that how you interpreted it?
Yes.
Second. All right, no discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? 6-0. Motion passes. Item G10, change order number 1 for Jack Overman Park. Motion and second.
Second.
No discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 11, resolution accepting stormwater easement and petition of waiver for hearing form and Department of Public Works to replace a storm sewer along North Progress line of 9342 South 31st Street.
Second.
Motion and a second. All, no Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 12, resolution to receive library board wage recommendations and establish wage rates for 2012 wage adjustments for the position of library shelver and library assistant.
Move to approve.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 13, resolution to address fringe benefits of library employees, including related part-time employee designations.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Alderman Olson.
This is a wonderful thing the library board did in limiting the benefits for part-timers.
Okay.
I appreciate what they did.
Barb, you hear that?
I did.
All right. Mark?
I was mean to him earlier, huh?
Yeah. I know. Mr. Roberta?
Just to point out, they've made that, but they won't actually be able to implement it until we do some technical things with both the health plan and the pension plan. I just want you to don't think it's going to start tomorrow. She won't actually be able to move people into that new role over 20 hours until we actually bring some pension plan adjustment to you, which requires the pension attorney and IRS stuff. So there's still hoops to go through, but it is the correct direction.
I bet you in sixth grade, Mark, you were the kid in the back of the room and the bell rang. Teacher, you didn't give us homework.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor and a second.
Thank you.
No further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 14, Police and Fire Department grants for the Technology Commission.
Move to approve. That's just releasing us from telling technology to get it.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? See none. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Item number 15. Ordinance to repeal and recreate section 10-15B of the Municipal Code of the City of Franklin in order to amend the number of members of the Technology Commission that compromises the quorum.
Approved.
Motion second. Approved. And a second. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Your Honor, we are on item number 16. And now with all Mr.
Thank
Patterson,
you.
ready to move.
I met with all the fire chiefs today in EMS management, so I had to convey some things to the chief.
Your Honor, we can go to item number
16?
Item number
three. Okay. Item three, ordinance to amend ordinance number 2011-2063, an ordinance adopting 2012 budgets and tax levy for the City of Franklin. Mr. Patterson?
Okay.
And you have a person sitting next to you?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce our Deputy Finance Director, Paul Rotzenberg, who's a City of Franklin resident, who's been with us since early June. We've been working him hard, and it hasn't worked to bring him in and have him introduced, but if you haven't met him, he's located in my old office. I'm now in the office off the lobby, so stop by and say hello when you're in here if you haven't met him. We're working through and getting him into budget issues so that we can be ready to go.
I think we've welcomed you before, at least. For some of us, you're a very familiar face. We're not going to hold it against you that Steve Olson, and he's pretty. I think you introduced me too. Official welcome to the city by the Common Council.
Thank you.
Proud to have him in the 4th District also.
Close to my church.
Yep. That's what I hear.
I have to be nice.
You and half the other population in Franklin.
Okay, item three was presented to you as an ordinance. There were section one were changes to the general fund, and they actually belonged as part of the EDC department. So it was just changes some wording and numbers, no dollars. The changes are in section three, which has to do with the capital improvement fund. The last two lines are new. And that's $238,000 in the approved section of the Capital Improvement Fund and $220,000 as a revenue source for the Capital Improvement Fund. Those two items end up changing the fund balance from $281,000 down to $20,000 down. And they changed what's called the sundry contracts, which is just the unapproved projects, projects waiting for council approval, from what it was to $3,079,50. So those are the recommendations. The recommendations prior to the changes had gone through the Finance Committee, and they are recommending approval, Mr. Chairman.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you for your eloquent presentation. It's about as easy as it gets.
Right.
Don't get used
It'll
to
be
it. Don't get used
September.
To it.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. A few more questions.
All right, now 16.
16, Your Honor.
Resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for a new medical office building greater than 40,000 square feet in area use upon property located at 9969 South 27th Street. Mr. Wasilowski, is there a desire to go into closed session?
Not a desire, Mr. Mayor, but there is a need.
All right. Any objections? If not, the Common Council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes, Chapter 19.85, Sub 1, Sub E, to consider the terms and negotiation of a potential development agreement with Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare, Franklin, Inc., and related parties concerning public improvements related to the development of the proposed medical office buildings and the terms of general property taxation of existing and future development and uses of the Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare Franklin Inc. property within tax incremental district number 4 for competitive and bargaining reasons and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Parties having business regarding this item are to remain within the chambers. I would ask that all individuals take all of their personal items with them, regarding including recorders and electronic devices.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Alderman Solomon?
Aye.
Alderman William?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skowronski?
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. We are going into closed session. Okay, we are back in open session. Mr. City Attorney, do you have a recommended motion for the council?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. There are two things before the council, if you will, and I believe we'd like to cover them with one motion. And that motion would be with regard to the draft special use resolution within the Common Council agenda packet with regard to condition number 14, that should be amended to read as follows. As a condition of the approval of this special use, the property and all improvements and uses to be developed and operated thereon shall be developed, operated, and maintained pursuant to that certain Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare Center First Amendment to Development Agreement, City of Franklin, Wisconsin, August 2012. As drafted by the city attorney and contained within the Common Council packet for such meeting, with technical changes as may be approved by the city attorney, but to include the text of paragraph number 5 as drafted by the city attorney.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Roll call.
There's a request for a roll call. Mr. Liberta, would you please take the roll?
Alderman Skowronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries, Mr. City Attorney.
And then the second motion, I believe there was a motion to adopt the special use resolution proper as just amended by that particular motion. So the second motion would be resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a new medical office building greater than 40,000 square feet in area, use upon property located at 9969 South 27th Street, Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare, Franklin, Inc. applicant, with condition number 14 to provide as adopted, amended by the Common Council at the meeting of August 7th, 2020.
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there another request for a roll call? All right, next item on the agenda is item 17. Potential development of property within the South 27th Street corridor. Common Council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes 19.85 sub 1 sub E. Is there a desire to go into closed session? Certainly, I would say yes.
So moved.
Second.
There's a need. Okay. I first have to make a motion. Common Council may enter closed the session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes Chapter 19.85 sub 1 sub E for market competition bargaining reasons to deliberate and negotiate terms relating to the potential development of property within the South 27th Street corridor and the governmental actions in relation thereto and to affect such development and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. There's a motion to that effect.
So
it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Liberti, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Milner.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schitt.
Aye.
Schitt.
Aye.
Aye. You train them? Six ayes, no noes. I have the motion carried. He always.
What time is that? Is that? 9 o'clock sharp.
We'll now move on to item H, licenses and permits, miscellaneous licenses.
Brian, approve the letter. Angelia, approve, or hold for appearance. I'm sorry, Angelia, hold for appearance. Balistrari, approve. Beretta, approve. Brown, approve. Brown, approve. Hushik, approve. Tour, approve. Clapp, approve. Trentman, approve. Walia, approve. Lanceman, approve. MACC Fun Card Show, approved. Franklin Hills Corners VFW Post. Both of these are approved pending receipt of grant application approval by the city clerk.
Is there a second?
Second.
To move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item I. You have before you a list of vouchers numbers 143739 through 143888. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Roberto, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the payroll of July 27th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Lombardi, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scratch.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries for adjourn. Oh.